Let's take our Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 11 this morning. Luke chapter 11. As we continue learning what God has for us in the gospel according to Luke. Luke chapter 11. And I'll begin reading in verse 33, asking you to follow along as we read down through verse 44. Luke 33 through 44. Luke chapter 11, 33 to 44. Luke 11, 33. Jesus says, "No one after lighting a lamp puts it in a cellar or under a basket, but on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But when it is bad, your body is full of darkness. Therefore, be careful lest the light in you be darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, it will be wholly bright, as when a lamp with its rays gives you light." While Jesus was still speaking, a Pharisee asked him to dine with him. And so he went in and reclined at table. The Pharisee was astonished to see that he did not first wash before dinner. And the Lord said to him, "Now you Pharisees cleanse the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. You fools! Did not he who made the outside make the inside also? But give alms, give as alms those things that are within, and behold, everything is clean for you. But woe to you Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and every herb, and neglect justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. Woe to you, Pharisees, for you love the best seat in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces. Woe to you, for you are like unmarked graves, and people walk over them without knowing it." I suppose we are all familiar with the power of light. Traveling at 186,000 miles per second, light shatters darkness, and it enters into our vision with hope and with warmth, allowing us to see clearly and distinctly. Light allows us to function and perform and move about in this world. Sunrises, sunsets, they're a vibrant picture of God's creative power. Light was one of the very first forces created as God spoke the universe into being. And it continues on to be a wonderful testimony of His power and His care. So vivid is the illustration of light that God even uses that word to describe the work that He's doing in bringing souls of men and women and children to Himself. Jesus is the light. The way of the kingdom is the light. The gospel message, all of these referred to as light shining in the darkness of this world. Well, in our text today, Jesus will use that analogy of light to teach an important lesson about listening to Him and the message of hope that He brings. Listen to that message. See that message and let the light penetrate into the darkness. So with that, let's pray and then we'll dive into our text. Father, thank You for the privilege that is ours to study Your Word. And as we look at this passage of Scripture which You have preserved for us, may we learn the lesson You have for us, the lesson that has been preserved through the years, that which Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees and the other listeners of the day. And I pray that we would walk away changed, that we would be people of light, and that the light that is in us as believers would shine brightly in the darkness. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to begin this morning with verses 33 through 36, in which Jesus uses a parable to reinforce his teaching. He's going to use a story, a parable, to reinforce the teaching that has already been done. You say, well, what has Jesus been teaching? You remember back to verses 14 through 26, Jesus made an incredible point, a line in the sand point to the criticism that was coming at him from the religious leaders. Jesus and the religious leaders were both influencing the crowd. And the religious leaders, specifically the Pharisees and the lawyers, or the experts in the law, made the accusation that Jesus worked by the power of Satan. And what Jesus did was he taught and he proclaimed that he was not in league with Satan, but he was indeed the Son of God, the Messiah, and he has come to do the Father's will. In other words, the power, the authority of the Father was behind him, not anything else. Verses 27 and 28, Jesus makes a very short but very, very direct statement that blessing comes to those who take the word of God to heart and believe it. They keep it. They keep it so that it impacts their lives. And then in verses 29 through 32, we saw that Jesus is the better prophet. Jesus is wiser than Solomon, and his resurrection from the dead will be the sign that his way, the way of the kingdom, is far superior than the way of the Pharisees. So again, now Jesus uses a short parable to reinforce what he has already taught. And what we're going to see is that Jesus reinforces again and again and again, three times in fact. And what he is doing is he is teaching, he's teaching it again, and he's teaching it a third time. And heaped upon top of each other, Jesus is making a very, very clear distinction between himself and the religious authorities of the day. Pick up our reading again in verse 33, where Jesus says, "No one after lighting a lamp." You remember what he just said? "Behold, something greater than Jonah is here." That's verse 32. A greater prophet. Who? Me. Me. Hebrews chapter 1, the perfect prophet. Jesus says, "No one after lighting a lamp puts it in a cellar or under a basket, but on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light." No one goes to the trouble of lighting an oil lamp only to put it in a place where it won't illuminate the room. You say, yeah, well, that's common sense. Right. What Jesus is doing is setting up an association between a visible light source, something that we're all very, very familiar with, and his own teaching. There is a correlation between the light and Jesus' own teaching. So just as a lamp is useful in illuminating a room so that anyone can see what's going on in that room, the teaching of Jesus was to function openly. It was to be put to use and to be proclaimed publicly. This is what Jesus is doing, even when he has private conversations that we are aware of. You say, how do you know that? Because it's been recorded and spread. Somehow, some way, even the private conversations of our Lord were passed on to others and have been spread. God preserved them. If someone does not receive his word, it is not because the lamp has been hidden, No, you don't light a lamp and put it under a basket or in a room that nobody goes into. You use the light purposefully. It is there for people to see by. So again, if someone does not receive his word, it's not because the lamp has been hidden. He came to proclaim truth. And those who don't walk by his word, those who don't walk by the light, do so because they have chosen to not respond to the light in the room. It's there, but they would rather go on in darkness. I'm not going in there where the light is. I don't want the light. It's further explained in verse 34. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But when it is bad, your body is full of darkness. Again, there's an analogy that is taking place. Jesus now calls your eye the lamp of the body. The eye is the vehicle of perception. It's a picture here. Jesus is using it as a picture of what we choose to allow in. So light and darkness determine spiritual health. What does Jesus say? A healthy eye lets in light. It's spiritually healthy. It perceives truth. But what does a bad eye do? A bad eye doesn't receive the light. It's blinded to the light. So one would be spiritually dark or bad. They're the bad eye. They're not letting the light come in. No, I don't want the light. I want darkness. It's interesting here that Jesus doesn't speak of any automatic inner light. In other words, what I mean by that is there's no divine spark in man. You hear people say, well, I really believe everybody's good at the core. Everybody has a little bit of good in them. Well, according to Jesus' teaching here, light originates outside of the body. We must let it in. We must believe. This is consistent with Jesus' teaching. If you remember back to verses 29 through 32, do you remember as Jesus was teaching, he talked about the men of Nineveh, verse 32. The men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the teaching of Jonah. They repented. What did they do? They believed the message that Jonah brought to them, and they turned from their darkness. They turned from their wickedness. You contrast that with what's going on here in this scene. The Pharisees would not repent when they heard Jesus' message because they wouldn't believe. They wouldn't believe a message. Someone greater than Jonah is here, and they wouldn't believe the greater message, and they would face judgment for it. So why are you harping on this? What point are you making? I think what Jesus is teaching here is that we are responsible, understand what I'm saying, not for our salvation. He provides the gift of salvation, but we are responsible for our spiritual health by how we respond to the light. Truth from God, truth about Jesus. We are responsible for how we respond to the truth. More on that tonight. Really encourage you to be here tonight at 5:45 as we continue exploring that truth. But the point that Jesus is making is that God faithfully brings the light. And we are responsible for what we do with it. To see the light is to believe and to follow Jesus. To not take in the light is to be in darkness, is to be a bad eye. It's to be blind. And what Jesus does is he continues to make his point. Again, he's heaping truth upon truth with a warning and a blessing. How good of Jesus to not only give the warning, but to give the warning and the blessing. The warning comes in verse 35. Therefore, be careful lest the light in you be darkness. This is the warning. There's a negative thrust to verse 35. No doubt that many of those who were under Jesus' voice were moving towards rejection. And Jesus warns that this is dangerous. In fact, it's devastating. Verses 31 and 32 have already made that clear. That there is judgment that is coming. And the judgment is coming towards those who reject, to those who turn a blind eye to the light, those who continue to walk in darkness. So those who would hear Jesus' teaching needed to be on watch that they take in the light, not darkness. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Back in Luke 11, Jesus is saying, be careful that you are walking in the light. You are held responsible for what you do with truth. Verse 36 then, on the heels of the warning, Jesus says, if then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, it will be wholly bright. As what? As when a lamp with its rays gives you light. So here's the blessing. Here's the positive thrust. Full illumination only comes as we are willing to receive light from the lamp of God's truth. You remember back to verse 28. Look at it. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Jesus is sticking with that theme. That same theme, which is so important. It carries on right until today. But that same theme, Jesus is turning the heads of people towards as he is preaching, as he's teaching the crowds, as he's meeting with opposition. He's constantly laying before them that there is blessing. What blessing? Full illumination. How are they blessed? Well, one way is that the rays of light shine fully upon their lives. They're able to walk in this light and be a testimony to other people. There's a song that my wife has sung. It carries with it the theme that we sang about this morning. It's make my life an alleluia. Make my life a praise to God, a song of praise. I want to be a testimony to you and to the light that shines. Yes, there is blessing to those who live in the light. So the point of the parable is actually multifaceted. What is Jesus saying in these few verses? As Jesus emphasizes light and spiritual health, he explains that he is providing the light publicly. He's teaching it publicly. It's open to all so that all can receive it and see. And if they are receptive, then they are given the guidance needed to make their way in a very dark world God changes people. He moves us from darkness to light. In fact, we become light. So what started out with Jesus may actually be shared by others who receive him. Who? Those who are wholly bright. They're walking in the light. So this parable reinforces what Jesus has already been teaching. But now, what he's going to do in the next few verses is Luke gives us some real-time examples of darkness, of bad eyes. In other words, here's another warning against creating our own definition of spiritual health. It's warning us, saying, no, don't tell God what you think is spiritual. Don't tell God what you think is spiritual life or spiritual light or spiritual vitality. Let him tell you and respond accordingly. Real-time examples of darkness and bad eyes. Verses 37 and 38 set the scene. So let's look at those. While Jesus was speaking, while he was continuing to teach the crowds, it's not like he was interrupted. All right, there's conversation that's going on. There's breaks in the action, if you will. While Jesus was speaking, a Pharisee asked him to dine with him. And so he went in and reclined at table. So Jesus left the preaching and teaching time. Enough has been said here. Now let's move into a different setting. But the same theme is going to carry on. The same teaching is, the Pharisee's not going to be able to get away from what Jesus was teaching and what he heard him teaching publicly. While Jesus was speaking, a Pharisee asked him to dine with him, so he went in and reclined at table in his house. The Pharisee was astonished to see that he did not first wash before dinner. Okay, light is entering into darkness. That's what we're to read into, to take into this scene. Light is entering into now the darkness. So do you think there might be some moments of confrontation? Yes, light shatters darkness. Darkness cannot hold the light at bay. That is true in our physical world. It is true in the analogy that Jesus gives, and it is true of Jesus as the light of the world. He comes into the darkness. Light enters darkness. And the Pharisee is at a loss here. He's astonished. He's beside himself, is the idea. Why is he beside himself? Well, I asked Jesus to come into my home for a meal, and he didn't even wash himself. Now, he's not going to say it. He's thinking it. But he is beside himself. He's astonished that Jesus would do this. And what we're not talking about here, what we're not reading about, is hand washing for hygiene. It's not that Jesus didn't come in and wash his hands because it had been a long, dirty day, and he wanted clean hands to eat with. That's not it. The idea here is the hand washing according to the ceremonial practice. The rabbinic tradition that says this is how you are to be clean. This is how you are to do it. Here are the rules, here are the commandments, here are the laws that we religious leaders have added to the Mosaic law. We have added so many rules, and they couldn't keep them all. It was intended to be that way. The people could not keep the rules. And so this Pharisee is beside himself because this was a very common rule that was promoted by the rabbis. We see here that as Jesus comes into this man's house, listen, this is so important as we read this. There is no neutral ground for the Pharisee, and there is no neutral ground for Jesus. What do you mean by that? The Pharisee, while he won't say it, the Pharisee is concerned primarily about ritual outward performances. He shows his hand in his thoughts. He's not fully aware of what's going on with Jesus right now. Jesus knows his thoughts. But by his attitude, he shows his hand. What is he most concerned about? Is he really wanting Jesus to come and preach truth to him? Oh, teach me, wise leader. No. No, he is floored that this man has the gall to come into his house and not be ceremonially clean. He's concerned primarily about ritual outward performances. So there's no neutral ground with him. This is how it is. You're going to come into my house. This is what you're going to do. But there's also no neutral ground with Jesus. Jesus, knowing his thoughts, immediately sees the additional burden as a hindrance to speaking about truth. A hindrance to speaking about light. I was just preaching about light. You've invited me into your house. Why would we not continue talking about light? And so Jesus confronts the Pharisee. Jesus, the perfect light-bearing messenger, Jesus greater than any prophet, more wise than Solomon himself, he enters the darkness and he calls the religious leaders to repentance. There's no neutral ground here. They say, you got to do this, 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 and this. I say, repent. Verse 39. The Lord said, now you Pharisees cleanse the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. What is he doing? He is challenging them spiritually. Like a cup that is clean only on the outside. Have you ever been there? This is disgusting. And those who are germaphobes will absolutely lose their cookies over this. But have you been there where you have seen a cup and someone pours water in and you go, or maybe it's a dark liquid that you can't see the bottom of the cup, and you drink, and you get to the bottom, and there's dried on food from a previous meal at the bottom. And you're like, oh, it's nauseating. And that's Jesus's point. This is nauseating what you're doing. It makes no sense. You would never do that to anyone in your own family, let alone a guest. You would never purposefully put a cup in front of them that was clean on the outside and dirty on the inside. Because if you did that, you would be leading them astray. The Pharisees have proven that there is no light in their hearts. They do not have God's heart. Remember Jonah? Jonah didn't have God's heart. Not for the nations. He may have had a love for Israel, but God had a mission for him, and Jonah wasn't buying it. And here the Pharisees are much like that response from Jonah. Outward attempts to be seen as light were being made, while they remained dark and dirty inside. And it's not that all that the outward actions were bad in and of themselves. But to reject Jesus' teaching was to reject God's message about Jesus and about the kingdom and about truly caring for people with the active love that God would supply. They were not moved by the love of God to love others. But that's precisely what the Pharisees demanded. Do this, do this, do this, do this. But what about the heart? What about service that's motivated by love, the love that God gave to you when He served you by giving you me? Jesus is sitting right in front of them. What about truly serving others and meeting needs? Do you remember what was it that astonished people about Jesus? It was His teaching about the love found where? In the kingdom. And He demonstrated that by going to the poor, by going to the needy, by going to the sick, by going to the lost. Those who needed a physician, those who needed a shepherd, that's who He was going to. The Pharisees, no. Spiritual health is determined by how many of the laws you can keep. Spiritual health is determined by how well you can keep those laws. And Jesus is challenging them spiritually. And His point is illustrated in verses 40 and 45. See, He's heaping it upon them. You fools. How direct is that? Did not He who made the outside make the inside also? What's the answer to that? Yes. But give as alms those things that are within, and behold, everything else is clean for you. You're so wrapped up in the fact that I'm not ceremonially clean. But what I want to give to you is a heart change so that from the inside out, you can serve as God wants you to serve. You can love as God wants you to love. Why? Because you will know His love. You will know His love. As the Creator of all, God made men and women as a whole being. But the Pharisees' approach to being spiritual was to have an outward performance that they hoped would impress God and people alike. Jesus is very straightforward. That's darkness. That's not light. That is darkness. They missed the part about understanding that if God changed the inside of them and made the inside of them holy, then what would flow out of them would be a truly holy work or light. The genuine love of God, consistent with God's way. And Jesus, you can see it again and again, Jesus goes to great lengths to drive home this point. Light must be let in. You are closing your eyes, you're closing yourself off to the light that is here and open for all to receive. You are remaining in darkness. To put the exclamation point on His point, look at 42, 43, and 44. Now He continues the message next week, as we'll continue on with verses 45 through the end of the chapter. As He starts interacting with another person. But He puts the exclamation point on His teaching with verses 42 through 44. Verse 42. Woe to you, Pharisees. Woe means judgment upon you. Judgment upon you. Judgment upon you like those who won't believe the prophet or won't believe Solomon or the one greater than the prophet or Solomon who is here. Judgment upon you, for you tithe mint and rue and every herb and neglect justice and the love of God. Now, you tithe mint and rue and every herb. Is that a bad thing? No, it's not. and neglect justice and the love of God. Is that a bad thing? In fact, does that bad thing affect their tithing of mint, rue, and every herb? Yes, that's the point. Outwardly, you look godly because you tithe, and everyone knows it because you show them. But there's an inward rejection of truth because you won't give any time or heart to those in need of help and love. Now, the message is not just go out and do a bunch of good things. What Jesus is teaching is, if my message, my light was in you, if you first knew the love of God, you would not only tithe, but you would actually use that tithe to provide help for the needy. Love would flow out of you because love is what's in you. I like what Daryl Bach adds to this paragraph in his commentary. What they practice does not rile him, but what they fail to practice and what they emphasize does. They omit the important matters while scoring well on the more trivial pursuits. They should tithe, but they should also be kind to their neighbor and honor God. That's what Jesus has been teaching. So we see that in verse 42. Verse 43, a second woe. He's heaping the evidence upon them. Woe to you, Pharisees, judgment be on you, for you love the best seat in the synagogues and the greetings in the marketplaces. That's why you do what you do. The light you walk by is darkness. Your life is not about God. It's about you. Verse 44, woe to you. You are like, and this might be a little confusing to us in our culture, but we'll explain it. Woe to you, judgment be on you, for you are like unmarked graves, and people walk over them without knowing it. The Pharisees avoided touching a grave for fear of ritual defilement. You don't step on a grave because then you're unclean. But they themselves, through their own unrecognized corruption and darkness, were defiling all those who came into contact with them. All those who would follow their teaching. All those who looked to them for guidance and direction and spiritual counsel. Why? Because they weren't changed from within. And so they're leading people on in darkness. The Pharisees saw themselves as the pinnacle of purity, but they were in fact leaders of spiritual uncleanness whose teaching led people to death. They thought that they were leading their followers into life, but Jesus says the opposite's true. Rather than leading people to the light of heaven, the Pharisees' pseudo-spirituality led people into the darkest grave. So while Jesus is rebuking the doubters who, like a plague, follow him and follow his every step, the idea is going to continue on. The teaching is going to continue on through the New Testament. The true believers let their light shine. It is rooted in Jesus' own teaching. And again and again and again and again, he is teaching people who he is in contact with. And right here, he's nailing the spiritual leaders, the religious leaders. Are you going to go my way? Are you going to follow me? I'm here. Don't turn a blind eye to the light. You continue in darkness. You're a bad eye if you do. So it's implied here in Jesus' teaching in Luke, and it becomes very clearly present in the local church today. We'll wrap up with this. As followers of Jesus, friends, we are to be seen as light. Perhaps your mind has gone to some of those passages. How about 2 Corinthians chapter 6? You don't have to turn there right now. Just jot it down. 2 Corinthians 6. This is the do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers passage. What does he say at the end of verse 14? What fellowship has light with darkness? And what's the answer? Fellowship. What yokedness? Can they walk hand in hand, light and darkness? No. No, believers, as followers of the light, we will stand out as different, but that's what light does. It breaks through the darkness. Ephesians chapter 5, so many different references to light. Ephesians 5, 8, listen. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. You've been changed from the inside. You once were darkness. You once followed that way. But now you are trusting in the truth about Jesus, that He is the only hope for the sinner. And you have called upon the name of the Lord and are saved, so you're walking with Him as children of light. You work your way down through the passage, verse 11, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. How do you expose darkness? With the light. For it's shameful even to speak of the things that they, the darkness, does in secret. But when anything is exposed to the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, what says? Perhaps an old hymn, a saying that was making its way around the Ephesian church. We've got sayings today. We've got one on our back wall. His last command, go and make disciples. Our first concern. Paul says, therefore, it says, whatever it is, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Whoa! Christ will shine on you. Does that mean that if I can just make Jesus a little part of my life, that everything's going to be bright and beautiful? No. No, arise from the dead. Arise, O sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. He's going to change you into light from the inside out. He continues on, look carefully then how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise. Look at how you live. Live as light, not as darkness. Life lived for the advancement and the promotion of self or our own way draws the same rebuke given to the Pharisees and the religious leaders. But friends, as the light of Jesus shines within us, our life, our ministry, our service, all about us, everything about who I am as a person, the whole me, from the inside out, can be for the advancement of His kingdom. And the spotlight can be on what He is doing. And He can receive all the glory and all the praise, all the alleluia. For when a person is filled with the light of Christ, it will affect his whole being. Walk in the light as He is in the light. Hear my words and keep it, Jesus said. And may God use us as lamps to shine the light of His Son everywhere we go. Please bow in prayer with me. Father in heaven, it is our joy to commit this passage to you to do a work in our hearts. We know that the power of the Holy Spirit has the ability to root out darkness, to root out sinfulness, and to help us see the joy and the glory of living for the God of heaven. with Jesus as our light. We all know how wonderful it is to feel the warmth of the sun on our face. He said, when a lamp with its rays gives you light, you're wholly bright. God, would we know that joy? As we keep our eyes fixed on you, as we hear the word of God and keep it, God, we have the wonderful privilege of being light in a very dark world. God, I pray that you would continue to work in our hearts. Show us how to live. Show us what it means to be people of light, people of the truth, as we study your word. As Lyle read for us this morning, you have given to us everything for life and godliness. Everything in the revelation of your Son, Jesus. And so would we spend much time in your precious word. Father, for those who may be here today who do not know Jesus as their Savior, God, I pray that they would see that they are walking in darkness. There is judgment coming. But these warnings of woe do not have to rest on them. They can be free. They can live in the light. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in the light, and you will be saved. Saved from what? Our own sin and darkness. And so, God, would you draw the lost to you? Would you use us to help them see that they need to be saved, rescued from their darkness, from their sin? And that they would be rescued and then be able to live in the light of Christ. Thank you for the truth of the word. Help us, Lord, to keep our minds in it and grow by it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.